Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And we're back, 6:34, Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons, rolling through a Tuesday night in Lansing. So what does the Bible say about capitalism? Some say it can be a brutal system that leaves the poor behind and breeds inequality, while others say, look around, it's the best system that mankind has ever developed. Rabbi Aryeh Sparrow is president of Caucus for America. He wrote about that topic in a piece you can find on Wall Street Journal at WSJ.com, and he joins me now. Welcome to the program, Rabbi Sparrow.
Thank you.
Now, your website, caucusforamerica.com, I noticed it said battling for the soul of America. What exactly does that mean?
Well, we feel that the American identity is success. The whole essence of what made America is a particular ethos called the Judeo-Christian ethos. That doesn't mean one has to be particularly religious or go to church or to synagogue, but there are certain broad moral themes that are found in that particular outlook. And that constitutes the greatness of America, and we'd like to preserve that. It's made a particular civilization, the one we call America. Americanism is rooted in it. Caucus for America was founded 15, 20 years ago in order to preserve that particular heritage and remind the American people of what made us great and what we need to continue that greatness.
Now, when it comes to your piece, you point out that the Bible proclaims that 6 days shall ye work. I guess we should be thankful we have a two-day weekend. But what does that say about the Bible or the biblical viewpoint on being employed and working on a daily basis?
Well, it says that work is important. It precedes the seventh day shall ye rest, with 6 days ye shall work. Work is important. It's a commandment. You have to work. It's not 6 days ye shall sit around or be taken care of, announce that you're entitled. No, you have to work. And if the Bible says that, it means it sees in work something very productive, something very positive. And we call that personal responsibility. It develops that moral virtue of personal responsibility, and that brings it with it wonderful habits, a productivity, accountability, a sense of urgency, a sense of gratitude to those that allow us to make a living.
Well, what about the other reality of capitalism, layoffs, unemployment, and other things that can happen as companies pursue higher and higher profits? What does the Bible say about that?
The Bible doesn't even talk about layoffs. And as I mentioned in the piece, the Bible is not a blueprint for every single part of the economy. But I would say that in capitalism, even the worst times are better than what you have in socialism. In capitalism, there are disruptions from time to time. We're in a pretty severe disruption, and it's continuing because I think that the administration is not following policies that would boost manufacturing. But there are safety nets. Nowhere in the Bible or the Torah does it say that we leave people completely high and dry. There are safety nets. The Bible puts that in a basic category of charity. But people in a capitalist society generally, even in the bad times, live better than people in socialist societies. I would dare say that even right now in a recession, most Americans have more food, more shelter, TV, air conditioning, fuel, good homes, schooling, far better than people did in the Soviet Union, they do in communist countries, or even in China. Even our recessions were better off than what they have normally in a socialist or communist system.
I'm talking to Rabbi Aryeh Sparrow. He's the president of Caucus for America, wrote a piece in the Wall Street Journal about capitalism and the Bible. Now, people do point to some aspects of socialism, such as the social health care networks that we find in Europe. It provides a wider safety net, some say. Isn't that something that the Bible and biblical ideas would support?
I don't see that in the Bible. Listen, it's very important that people have access to health care, and people generally do. And when I grew up, everybody had much easier access because the costs were lower. And there are ways to make sure that those people who genuinely cannot afford it, that we take care of them. We don't want national health care. National health care, we have evidence. We've seen in England, even in Canada, where people have to wait a long time for operations, and sometimes by the time their slot comes in, they're already gone. They can't get the some of the wonderful benefits that we have here in advanced medicine and hip replacement. So on a national scale, it's shown not to be good. Even in Israel, where they initially started out with a national health care system, they did find that they had to have openings for private systems. No one is against helping those who cannot afford health care, but that's far different than forcing us all into a national health care system. People come here from all over the world, countries that have a national health care system, to get the best medicine and the best operation.
You know that the Bible has no problem with wealth creation, but what about the vast inequality that the Occupy movement is pointing out, with 1% holding so much wealth, when the Bible say that's a problem? I mean, we do have an issue.
No, the Bible doesn't get into things of envy. Matter of fact, if you look at the Bible, it says, if you have a nice, good life, be satisfied with your life. That's one of the main things that we're supposed to do. Work against envy. Work against jealousy. Those people that don't have, we must help take care of them. But simply because somebody has more, I am not a wealthy man by far. I am real middle class. And I don't care that someone has more money. And certainly if they came by it honestly, I understand that there are some people that are better in business than I. I write a better article than some people, but there's some people that write a better business plan than I do. That's jealousy. So long as a person has food and shelter, education for his children, means of transportation, he's warm in the winter, he's cool in the summer, I don't think he should worry about all these things of income inequality. Nothing wrong with Warren Buffett being wealthier than me, no problem.
Well, that's one point. On the other hand, there are many families that are desperate and struggling now, and there could be an issue that some could say, look, we have an issue of greed here, of people that are basically taking too much from the economy and leaving so little for the rest of Americans. What would you say to that?
I don't think they're taking from the economy. Generally, these very wealthy people are the ones that are producing the jobs, and greed is not endemic to capitalism. You have greed. That's part of human nature. You have it in socialist societies, too, where you have a ruling class that's rather greedy. You have many people on the left, Michael, that are quite wealthy in Hollywood and Silicon Valley. And there are many people on Wall Street itself who are politically on the left. They have plenty of money, but somehow we don't associate them with greed. The only person that's greedy is someone who's considered conservative or capitalist. But I find that, what do they say, that the top 1% pays 40% of the taxes? So I think they're sharing, but they're not supposed to divest themselves of all of their wealth. But greed, you don't think the people in the Politburo and all these ruling class social societies, they're not greedy? They were living in villas and wonderful places, dachas, and the regular people weren't.
Well, one thing we did see, certainly at the beginning of the industrial era when it came to capitalism, is that when it was unregulated, anything could happen. Child labor, workers being worked to death. We even see our recent housing market collapse that many say is a system that was allowed to run free. Is that not something that the Bible would have a problem with?
Oh, yeah. No, when the Industrial Revolution took place and society was not prepared, they did not have a plan of action. Of course, one of the important things in Western civilization was to try to allow, on the one hand, a free market system where people could have jobs, but on the other hand, we had to set in certain standards. You could not have children working. You couldn't have people working with dangerous conditions. We had unions, too. These were all necessary things. The Industrial Revolution was, when it first began, had to, like everything else in life, it had to be tempered. You can't have 100% manufacturing without any safeguards. So that's why we have governments and people who, that's their job.
Your perspective, though, is that the inequality, that the financial inequality in this country, there's nothing particularly wrong with it at this point.
No, I think as long as people make their money honestly. And generally, a lot of these people that make this money, they're producing jobs for people. Listen, I work for people that I once worked at a meat packing house. The owner was far wealthier than I, 1,000 times wealthier, but he provided a job for me. If he would have been poor and he would not have had the plant, the the processing plant, I would have been out of a job. So most of the wealthy people that I know, they're wealthy by virtue of owning something that's providing jobs.
Rabbi Aryeh Sparrow, the president of Caucus for America, he wrote a piece on this topic, which you can find on Wall Street Journal. That's WSJ.com. His website also is caucusforamerica.com. Rabbi Sparrow, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you, Mr. Cohen.
Excellent. We